Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. We've had an increase in children biting one another, throwing things, running off, spitting. We've got that sadly predictable story of the scamdemic, plus polio vaccines, Zioterra edition, but first, in leaks. Facebook partner brags about listening to your phone's microphone to serve ads for stuff you mention. I love stuff you mention in the headline. In a pitch deck to prospective customers, one of Facebook's alleged marketing partners explained how it listens to users' smartphones' microphones and advertises to them accordingly. The conspiracy you always knew was happening in your phone is, of course, now proven real. As 404 Media reports based on documents leaked to its reporters, the TV and radio news giant Cox Media Group, COX, claims that its so-called active listening software uses artificial intelligence to capture real-time intent data by listening to our conversations. Advertisers can pair this voice data with behavioral data to target in-market consumers, the deck continues. In the same slideshow, Cox counted Facebook, Google, and Amazon as clients, though it didn't specify whether or not they were involved in the active listening service. After 404 reached out to Google about its partnership, the tech giant removed the media group from its site of partners program. A Meta spokesperson also pushed back in a statement saying that Cox was a general partner, not a partner in the program advertised in the deck. Meta does not use your phone's microphones for ads, and we've been public about this for years, the statement read. We are reaching out to CMG to get them to clarify that their program is not based on Meta data. And an Amazon spokesperson told 404 that its ads arm has never worked with CMG on this program and has no plans to do so. This latest leak marks the third time in a year that 404 has reported on CMG's shady voice targeting service last December. The independent news site not only put a marketing company on blast for boasting about such creepy tech on its podcast, and also revealed the existence of CMG's active listening feature. Together with this latest update to the CMG saga, these stories bolster long-standing suspicions about advertisers using our phones to listen to us. We know what you're thinking. Is this even legal? A Since Cox blog post from November 2023 noted, "It is legal for phones and devices to listen to you. When a new app download or update prompts consumers with a multi-page term of use agreement somewhere in the fine print, active listening is often included." In related tech fangster news, Elon Musk's battle with Brazilian government intensifies. Another of his companies facing trouble. Elon Musk battling with the Brazilian government over content on X. They told him to block X and he's not blocking it. Meanwhile, Reuters reported Brazilian telecom regulator Anatel may slap his Starlink with sanctions. X has already been banned across Brazil, one of the social media platform's largest target markets. We will include a helpful Solutions Watch link for how to de-Google. Remember when Google was just a search engine, James, and now this, you know, sends me down the old man memory lane? Remember when Amazon was just a used bookstore? Imagine if Microsoft only made the actually fantastically useful Outlook program, or think back to a time when MySpace wasn't trying to defend my first speech democracy. James, did you have a MySpace account?
Yeah, kind of. I created one for the Corbett Report when I first started, but that was about 3 months before everyone universally decided to abandon MySpace at the same time, so kind of useless. How about you?
I, of course, did. I went to look it up today. I went to archive.org on the Wayback Machine and get a version from about 2008 or 2009, James, which was right about when you and I were making virtual contact and beginning New World Next Week in 2009.
There you go. The beginning of New World Next Week was the end of MySpace. Put that one in the book. As for active listening, I will, for what it's worth, I'll put in a link to the 404 Media podcast. That's the crew that broke this story about this active listening program. And for what it's worth, they think that this is braggadocio on the side of this company, that they can't actually do this, that they're promoting something that they're not really able to do. How they can discern that, I'm not sure. But they did point out that, you know, it's not like you need to be actually listening 100% of the time to everything that everyone is saying and recording all of this and putting it in a database and data mining it in order to know more often than people would like to believe what they are thinking or doing. And they cited that, I think by now, oft-cited story that if memory serves, I think it was Target that started sending advertising for baby food and baby products and things to this young woman who wasn't pregnant. Why are they sending me all this baby stuff? And then she found out, oh, she was pregnant. And Target knew it before she did because of the signs and changes in eating habits and other things that were being, of course, tracked. Every time you use your loyalty cards and whatever else, they are tracking all your purchases and finding out such things as, hey, you're pregnant, even if you don't know it. So, yes, it can get incredibly creepy. And in fact, in that 404 Media podcast, they pointed out another creepy thing that hadn't occurred to me yet, is that you personally may be talking to your friend about whatever random thing, some very specific, spatula or something. And then suddenly you go and you're searching online and suddenly you're getting all these spatula ads. Well, clearly the phone was listening. Well, actually, your phone knows that it was in proximity to your friend's phone, and your friend may be searching for spatulas after you talk to them, and it picks up on that and then starts sending. So there's lots of different ways that we, as average people, we can't even begin to wrap our minds around the amount of data that is being mined and processed right now, even beyond your phone actually listening to you. But hey, here's another one to at least throw in the mix. Hey, they're at least saying, they're openly saying that they can do this and do this. And it's interesting to see Google and Meta and these other companies trying to back away, like, oh, we have nothing to do with that. We don't want to touch that one, guys, once it's been exposed.
Well, isn't it interesting if this company came out and said, Amazon and Google and Facebook are helping us land on Pluto? The companies would come out and say, that's stupid, that doesn't even exist. They don't come out and say, this is stupid, this doesn't exist. They come out and say, we're not involved with this, we swear. That should tell you a whole heck of a lot. James, you kind of make me think of surveillance cameras in a way. They don't need to record 24/7. They just need to record only every several seconds, maybe in a burst, and you still get a pretty good picture of what's going on. Here's an idea. Let's test this out, Spatula. Maybe on this episode, let's try and say Spatula a bunch and see if Spatula people tell us, man, I was thinking about spatulas and my phone started to Spatula.
Alexa, order me a spatula.
That's how we return with New World Next Week, episode 565. We've been away for a little month of August, but we are back for the attack. Our second story, mortal enemies reach a truce over a polio vaccine. Grabbing this from our friends at activistpost.com, the World Health Organization brokered a limited truce between Israel and Hamas in order to get Gazan children vaccinated. Is there something more sinister afoot? Amidst the protracted war in the Gaza Strip, the World Health Organization just clinched a preliminary commitment for area-specific humanitarian pauses between combatants in order to facilitate a polio vaccination campaign for children. How else are we supposed to find bin Laden's DNA? These area-specific humanitarian pauses will span 3 days over different areas of the war-ravaged territory. In other words, the ongoing Israeli Holocaust against Gazans will continue unabated, except for brief lulls in designated vaccination zones. We can't even begin to describe the ludicrousness of this exercise, but let's give all the protagonists in this drama the benefit of the doubt. Maybe more Gazan babies are dying from polio than from Israeli bombs, missiles, and bullets, but that's not the case. As an August 20th post from the Times of Israel reports, the United Nations is preparing to vaccinate an estimated 640,000 children in Gaza. Confirmed August 23rd that at least one baby has been paralyzed by the type 2 polio virus, the first such case in the territory in 25 years. Israel's Holocaust in Gaza, on the other hand, has killed at least 40,000 Palestinians in the first 320 days since the false flag events of October 7, 2023. The alleged paralysis of one child, remember, one's a tragedy, and a bunch is a statistic, has brought some remorse, rethinking, and rapprochement of sorts because it's the humanitarian thing to do. Gaza babies are literally dying from fear and shock as Israeli bombs fall all around them. They're also dying from malnutrition and other war-related causes, including all kinds of diseases. 1.9 million civilians, amounting to nine of 10 of Gaza's population, are estimated to have been internally displaced, and nearly 900,000 of them are children. Even the Clinton Global Initiative couldn't swoop in and adopt that many kids. In the midst of this killing field, the powers that be are providing security guarantees and resources over a vaccine. Right when Gaza is reeling from critical sources, shortages in essential medicines and equipment, not to mention food, water, sanitation, hell with those. These discrepancies are important to note, as years ago it was an Israeli who alerted the writer of this article on Activist Post to the fact that polio was the direct result of poor sanitary conditions. This is the reason why the disease routinely flares up in the third world. The polio virus transmitted with the ingestion of fecal matter, and this usually happens when basic sanitation systems are either broken or inaccessible, or you're in, like, Portland city streets or something. For a rough comparative exercise, try researching how many unvaccinated Amish children were stricken with paralytic polio in recent decades. Paralytic polio should be distinguished from the less virulent non-paralytic types, i.e. abortive poliomyelitis. You're more likely to hear of paralytic polio outbreaks, as I was just joking about, in the hellholes of New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles in the near future. They have already been reporting on Shigella on the streets of Portland, Oregon. James, do you want me to throw it to you now, or should I mention the chemotherapy and fluoride updates?
Before you get to that, yes, just on the note of this story, I hope people will go and follow the link not only through to Activist Posts that we're citing here, but they are sourcing this from a Substack I've never heard of, Matthew Mavick. Anyway, he puts definitely the emphasis in the right place with this article. As to, as you say, the absolutely insane, ludicrous nature of this, at least if we were to take this story at face value, they're trying to save the poor Gazan children that, oh, by the way, they are slaughtering to the tune of tens of thousands of young men, women, and children, primarily children, because that is half the population of Gaza, are being slaughtered in this Holocaust that is happening right now. But don't worry, guys, we're going to pause at certain times in certain places so you can get your jabs. Even if you swallowed every part of this hook, line, and sinker, and polio, and the jabs will save you from it, it doesn't make any sense. Unless, of course, there were some sort of ulterior motive here, and this is a wonderful, shining opportunity for the WHO to come in as PR saviors of the world, and hey, look, we can stop these wars in order to make sure that the little children will be safe so they can then be safely bombed once we get out of there and fighting resumes. It is just absolutely insane. And I would like to think that absolutely anyone, even people who swallow this propaganda, would be able to see that there's something majorly, majorly wrong with this idea that they're trying to foist on us right now.
In other health news, because we haven't been on for a little while, James, long-delayed U.S. government report finally released concludes that fluoride lowers IQ in children. From our buddy at thelastamericanvagabond.com, it's good to see some of our friends still have websites kicking butt online. The final version of the report confirms what previous drafts have concluded. Fluoride exposure is associated with lower IQ in children. The long-delayed and censored final report from the U.S. National Toxicology Program has found moderate confidence that fluoride exposure is consistently associated with lower IQ in children. James, any comments on that report?
Not surprising to people who have been following this, but it is extremely important that this is now coming out and on the record, so I hope people will take a look at that story as well.
Two other health notes we'll include as related since we've been away. James, I'll hear these stories. I play some of my old episodes on my stream. I stream for several hours a day. I do an hour every day where I play an episode from this date from previous Media Monarchy episodes, so it's always fascinating to listen to shows from 2014, 2016, 2018 from this date. And I hear those stories and go, oh, that's right. Mexico's going to ban GMO corn. Is there any way that's actually going to happen? Oh, of course not. Mexican government drops planned import ban on genetically modified U.S. corn. James, I believe that was a story here on New World Next Week. And only, of course, alt-right white supremacists would suggest the newly elected president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, has anything to do with this complete about face. In better news, supermodel Elle McPherson reveals she was diagnosed with breast cancer 7 years ago and said hell no to chemotherapy. I chose an holistic approach, the 60-year-old Australian wrote in her upcoming book. Saying no to standard medical solutions was the hardest thing I've done in my life. And you read that article and you learn she even used to date Andrew Wakefield. It is a rich tapestry on this New World Next Week, episode 565. Remember the My Body, My Choice crowd and their kabuki enemy Spider-Man double, the so-called conservatives? Together, working together, they destroyed an entire generation of kids, as was sadly predicted on this show 4 years ago. They're about 2 years behind. Now, they could be talking about their articles, but they're talking about the kids who are going to school now, and they're calling them pandemic babies. Fears for children born during lockdown as they start school. First, from the UK Guardian, babies born in 2020 started life in the strange world of lockdown in a small bubble of people with faces hidden behind masks. Social experiences such as seeing extended family, trips to the playground, and mother-baby groups could not happen. And struggling public services meant infants were likely to miss out on face-to-face appointments with a health visitor who might have been able to spot developmental difficulties early on. Those babies are now 4 years old and arriving at school for the first time in England this week. Yeah, James, again, I remember, it was like, yeah, I didn't go to kindergarten until I was 5 years old, which I thought was the typical thing. Sidebar, obviously the mission is to have kids in school year-round all the time, because you don't own them, they're the state's property. Continuing, experts say teachers should be braced to encounter and tackle problems ranging from poor speech and language development to social and emotional difficulties. Similar problems have been seen in children who are very young during the pandemic and are already in the system. We've had an increase in children biting one another, throwing things, running off, spitting, said the head teacher of a primary school in Northwest England. He added they were often frustrated or struggled with taking turns, sharing, or following routines and listening. They don't have the vocabulary to express what they're feeling. They're about 2 years behind when they arrive. And really, it's not just the UK. New York Times reports the youngest pandemic children are now in school, comma, and struggling. The pandemic's babies, toddlers and preschoolers, are now school age, and the impact on them is becoming increasingly clear. Many are showing signs of being academically and developmentally behind. Interviews with more than two dozen teachers, pediatricians, and early childhood experts depicted a generation less likely to have age-appropriate skills to be able to hold a pencil, communicate their needs, identify shapes and letters, manage their emotions, or solve problems with peers. A variety of scientific evidence has also found that the pandemic seems to have affected some young children's early development. Boys were more affected than girls. Another mission accomplished, the studies have found. I definitely think children born then have developmental challenges compared to prior years, said Dr. Jamie Peterson, a pediatrician at Oregon Health and Science University, OHSU, whose research is on kindergarten readiness. We asked them to wear masks, not see adults, not play with kids. We really severed those interactions, and you don't get that time back for kids. There's one from the BBC in there as well that I will include. Now just imagine if these corporate propaganda outlets, the Broken Clocks Incorporated of media, funded by Big Pharma and weapons manufacturers, imagine if they would have published just some of these thoughts and doubts about 4.5 years ago. James, I am still pretty much as enraged as I was then. How about you?
You know, I try not to get enraged about these stories and about people who took the wrong position and did the wrong thing. And I still try to maintain hope. Oh, well, they can see the light and of the error of their ways and come to the light. But man, it is hard not to be absolutely infuriated, absolutely enraged at a story like this. I am truly heartbroken to think of all the children who are suffering from their developmental crisis that they were forced through by the exact same type of people that were clapping back at people from their balcony, stay home, flatten the curve, all that nonsense, are now doing the surprise Pikachu face. Why are children having all these problems? Who could have known that shutting down the entire planet and all human productivity and interaction would have effects on people? And I know everyone has seen this in their daily lives over the past few years as we go back to the new normal and people are off their rockers, unhinged, crazy, antisocial behavior. And that's the adults that we're talking about, let alone the children who had to suffer through this. And there's that heartbreaking image they have in one of these stories that we're citing here about the little child who met their grandparents via Zoom on an iPad. And that's the only way they saw them for the first couple of years of their life or whatever it is. And you know what? The worst part is there is now a generation growing up that will think, yeah, that's totally normal. So what? You didn't see your grandparents for a couple of years. Zoom is good enough, right? That is absolutely enraging. And anyone who thinks that they can tinker with human society and tell and direct people what to do and to lock them in their homes and not suffer any consequences for it are absolutely despicable and need to repent for what they have done to humanity.
I don't know that I'm going to hold my breath for that to come, James. I think it'd be important for people to share these links. So I made archive.is links, which break the paywall of some of these, you know, mainstream freedom-fighting outlets that, of course, just need funding from pharma and weapons manufacturers. I have de-paywalled links to the New York Times, to the BBC, to the Guardian. Share them with your normie friends. You know your normie friends love it when you share mainstream articles disputing their bullcrap. There's that. Oh gosh, hadn't had it in a while. There's that new world next week. Sigh. James, in closing, let's give big thanks and appreciation to our buddy Doug Owen of BlacklistedNews.com. We have used his site since essentially the very beginning of Media Monarchy Corbett Report, even before there was a New World Next Week, and I go to look for maybe an extra story for this episode, and I see that he's taken the site down, at least temporarily. I'm not sure what he's going to do with the archives, which does concern me, James. Big, giant, huge thanks to Doug Owen of BlacklistedNews.com. After almost 19 years online, he has ended BlacklistedNews.com. It was an indispensable aggregator of real news, real alternative news. And he really, James, you and I have talked about this off camera, I believe. He was really one of the few that never lost the plot, never cucked out, never shilled. Man, going way back in the day, man, I remember loving his work. Do you remember Lee Rogers of Rogue Government back in the aughts? James, you got some thoughts and prayers in tribute for the late, great Blacklisted News?
I'll just echo what you said. I know you've been doing this almost 19 years. I'm here 17 years, and I can say, at least for the entirety of the Corbett Report, since the very, very beginning, I've been using Blacklisted News as a resource and a good news aggregator. And as you say, we have seen many, 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 many people come and go through the online media space in these couple of decades that we've been doing it. And yeah, a lot of them do end up losing the plot or jumping on some stupid bandwagon at some point or what have you. And you know, Doug in Blacklisted News was not one of them. So, what can I say? Oh, well, end of an era, and my best of luck to him on his future endeavors.
Cheers, Doug. Appreciate you, buddy. And yes, James, I, Media Monarchy, will be turning 19 years old this coming Tuesday, September 11th, 2024. But I, you know, appropriately for the holiday, I'll be flying in a plane to visit family. So really, in some ways, that's why I felt like cramming extra info in on this episode. It was kind of a tease because we're going to be back off the air next week. However, speaking of teases, we do run newworldnextweek.com as a place for Monarchy and Corbett shirts and USBs and DVDs and radio plays and ways, again, to support our work that isn't shilling for some weird product and some weird third-party thing. I can tease right for you the brand new. Look at that. That looks good. We worked hard, actually, to get the new Corbett Report logo looking good with the glow. So that's a tease, though, because they are in the house, but they are not on the store just yet. So again, I will implore you to head to newworldnextweek.com. You make an account on there, and you will get emails notifying you when new products are on the store. We do not bug you with emails. In fact, we probably email too little, you know, for people that are, you know, you get the emails from the stores and the marketing places. You should be shilling and constantly emailing and bugging people. It's like, that's not what we do, and that's what we've never done. We have been New World Next Week since 2009. I've been Media Monarchy since 9/11/05, and I play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes after my Thursday morning show. We tape them Wednesday night to me, and I play them Thursday morning when no one's heard them but me, Brock, and Corbett. As another way to try and get folks to come check out my Monday through Friday stream, MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, there it is, episode 565, buddy.
James, I'm just having a thought. Should we release a New World Next Week spatula on the store?
We should do a spatula. I'm glad you remembered that, because a product for sales, and I'm really interested in buying. I'm just trying to say dumb spatula words. That's a good idea. We'll put a spatula on the store.
Spatula City! Buy nine, the 10th one is free. Anyway, okay, well, that'll do it for this week, and as you say, we'll be off next week, but we'll be back with New World Next Week in a couple weeks. James, thank you again for your time. Looking forward to doing this again.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.